There's a verse that is out this week, and maybe some of you saw it this morning. It's from the book of Philippians and chapter 4 and verse 19. And the verse says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You know that verse? You've seen that before? Can you read that with me? "And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." It's a great verse. It's interesting, when I looked at it, the first thing that stood out with me was a conjunction. Because it starts with the word "and." In some translations it has "but." But they're both conjunctions. And a conjunction is something that does what? Joins something. It joins what you have with what went before. And may I just tell you, all verses of the Bible are that way. They always have a context that they fit in. And so it's important to see what the context is here for Philippians 4:19 so that you can fully understand the verse. In the passage, Philippians 4, Paul is talking to the church at Philippi. He's in prison and he's writing to this church the book. And in chapter 4 he talks about rejoicing in the Lord. Do you remember things like that? "Rejoice in the Lord sometimes," and again I say rejoice. Oh, always, yeah. "Rejoice in the Lord always," and again I say rejoice. That's command, by the way. They were to rejoice in the Lord. That means we have control over that. And then he tells us how to think. He tells us not to worry. And then he tells us how to think. And then he comes down in the last part of chapter 4, and he basically is giving a thank you note to the Philippians as he closes out this book. And he says, "I want to thank you for sending me provision," because the church at Philippi sent money to him to meet needs that he had. And as he does that, he's telling them that finally the gift has reached him. But he wants to make sure they understand this isn't a problem. And so he comes back and says, "I've learned how to be content. I've learned how to have a lot, I've learned how to have nothing, and I've learned how to be content regardless." Great lesson for us. And as he finishes talking about that, then he says to this church, "You're the only church that supported me." Now, you think that the Philippians were the only church, of all the churches Paul set up, only church that God prompted them to support? I think probably God prompted a lot. But the problem is people get busy and they get involved and they don't follow through on what God says. Philippians were the only ones who did it. And they not only gave one gift, they gave several gifts to Paul. And Paul said, "And your gift has produced fruit." And that fruit is applied to your account. And he says, "Your gift, well, it's a sweet-smelling aroma to God. It's an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." All of a sudden, he grabs a hold of words that push us right back into the Old Testament. And there's a great story about God's provision in the Old Testament. And we're going to look at that in a minute. But he says in this verse, "My God," that's the one who's going to do this. Right? In other words, it's going to be someone who is extremely powerful, someone who's extremely relational, because it's not just the God of the universe, it's my God. "Shall supply." There's a great certainty with that. Not maybe, someday will, but "shall supply." What? All your needs. All your need. And that carries forth the idea of various deficiencies. It could be money, it could be food, it could be a place to live, you can come up with all kinds of things that we can have deficient within our lives, can't you? At least I can. And Paul's saying here, these people can expect God to provide for those deficiencies. And the reason God can is twofold. First of all, because He has all kinds of riches. How much riches do you think God owns? I mean, He made everything, right? And His riches in glory, I've not been to heaven, but Paul talks about going to heaven. And he said, "There are things I can't even talk about that are there." And I've read stories about people who either died or God transported to heaven, and they talk about the greatness of that place and the beauty of that place and the how it is. And I tell you, God is very rich and very wealthy, and He has a lot to be able to give to us. And He does it by the provision that Jesus made for us. He does it through Jesus Christ. He provides it for us, whatever we need. If we're people of God who are actively involved with Him, listen to this again. Let me say that again. We're people of God who are actively involved with Him. Were the Philippians actively involved in what God was doing? How were they involved? They were supporting Him. They were providing for Him. Now, it isn't just money. It's being involved in what God's doing. Sometimes that requires you. Sometimes throwing money at something's the easy way to do it. Right? You pay somebody to do something rather than you do it. It's being involved in what God's doing. And so, if you're involved in that, God's going to provide for you. Supply according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And whenever you're involved in what God's doing, God will supply the elements of which you have need. There was this man whose name was Abraham. Do you remember him? He received a call from God to leave Ur of the Chaldees, which in its day was like New York City in our day. It had 600,000 people in it. This is a long, long time ago. This is around 1990s in B.C. Right? So that's a long, 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 long time ago. It was on the seacoast. Now there's 200 miles between the seacoast and where the city was. All the silt over the 3,000 years that have come down have pushed the seacoast way back. But then it was a seaport city. Well known. Exported, imported. It was a San Francisco, New York City of its day. And it was just a famous place. Abram's there and God calls him to go to the wilderness. To go to a place He's going to show him. To a place that's so far removed from the urban lifestyle. It's amazing. And yet, he gets up and goes. And you know why He called him? Because He had something for him to do. May I just tell you something? This is parenthetical. Anytime God calls you, it's for more than you. Do you understand that? It's for more than you. How many people in here are called? Well, if you're a believer, you've been called in Jesus Christ. And it's not about you. It's about what you're going to do for the kingdom of God, which involves other people. So it's always about other people. And Abraham had a big need. God said, I'm going to make of you a great nation. What was his big need in order to accomplish that? What? He needed a child, right? I mean, if you're going to have a great nation, you've got to at least have children. He's 75, his wife 65, they had no kids, and that's life for them. And they can't have children. She's barren. And God provided for him. Do you remember the story? I mean, God waited for years. He was 75 when the call came. He's finally 100 when he has the child. His wife becomes pregnant. Can you imagine that? A lady that's 90 years old pregnant. I imagine everybody was just really hooting about that. I mean, it's just amazing. And finally, when he's 100, she's 90, this baby is born. They called him what? And what does Isaac mean? Laughter. Because everybody was laughing. I mean, it's just amazing. And they recognized, without a question, that God did something. I mean, Sarah had been through menopause years ago. And yet she has a child. So God did what they couldn't do. God provided for their need. You understand that? And then the boy grows up and he's the apple of his dad's eye. He's so special to him. Can you imagine spending the time that they did in an agricultural society where he's around him from the time he got up in the morning to the time he put the boy to bed? He's just following his dad around, doing all the stuff. His dad gets to talk to him about everything, about God, about life, about everything. And he's gone through this. And then the day comes that God says to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, who you love, and I want you to offer him as a burnt offering to me. Now that's a wild thing. Why did God do that? We don't know. We can speculate. Maybe Abraham had taken his son Isaac and placed him into a greater position than he should have in his own heart. But regardless, Abram said, okay, I'm going to do it. Hebrews tells us that he had believed and trusted God for this boy. And he knew that this boy was going to fulfill what God had in plan. And he believed that God would raise him from the ashes even. Somehow God was going to make provision. And so they got the wood and they headed out. And when they got to Mount Moriah, the boy says, Dad, we got the wood, we got the fire, where's the lamb for the sacrifice? You remember that? And Abram looked at him and said, God will provide Himself a lamb for the sacrifice. They go to the area, and you know the story about this submissive teenager willing to be tied up. His dad raises the knife and God speaks to him and says, don't harm the boy. There's a ram over in the side. God provided, right? And God provided this ram for sacrifice. Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. Yahweh, Jehovah, maybe some of you heard, Yare. The Lord will provide. That's what he called the name of the place. Why? Because he knew that God provided for the need that was in his life. And I tell you, that's just one time. All the way through, God provided for him. Even when he screwed up and made things terrible for himself. You know what God did? God's just a wonderful... He went in and rescued him from the situation. Even when he did the same stupid thing twice. I don't know, maybe you've done that too? I have. God went in and rescued him. God's a great God. He will supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You got some needs in your life right now? Well, why don't we pray? Why don't you take those to Him right this minute? Because He wants to meet those for you. He sometimes takes His time because He's not an American. We want it happening now. God doesn't operate according to our standards. But I can tell you this, He will operate according to His standards. He's promised us. He keeps His promises. Well, Lord, we want to come before You today to bring to You the various needs of our life. Because there's some of us here who are strung out and there's nothing else we can do. Our situation is much like Sarah and Abraham's conceive. There's nothing they could really do. There's nothing we can do. But we thank You that You're God. And as we walk with You and involve with You in what You're doing, You'll provide for us that we might be used by You in the community of saints in a world that doesn't know You. That they might know Your ways and walk Your paths as they see our lives. Lord, would You supply abundantly? For You tell us that You came to give us life. And that life was to be overflowing with abundance. Would You supply the needs for Your children that they might be able to share with joy the grace and goodness of their God? Thank You for hearing us. And we know that if we ask anything according to Your will, You'll accomplish it for us. And we praise You for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.